Mrs. Mary Smith, a food worker at Chase Cafeteria, is being interviewed. The interviewer is Valerie Quinney.
Okay, let's make sure, yeah. At the time of the strike, were you working in Chase then, or?
No, you know, it was two of them. Are you talking about the one with the university and one with Saga?
I'm talking about the one that began in February, I think it was about the 23rd.
Yeah, that was you.
Right, that's
and I was
the
working
one.
In the Pine Room in the Noah Hall at that time.
Ah, and about how many people were working with you in the Pine Room, would you say?
Well, on that shift at that time, it was about 30 of us on that one shift, but that was, you know, just like I was working on night shift and like I was coming in at 2 in the afternoon, you know, working to 10 at night. But then we had a shift during the day, you know, like it was two different shifts. One come on at 6 to 3, another one was from 3 to 10.
And were mostly women working with you, or you had some men?
We had some men.
Mostly women. Yeah. And were there black people and white people, or mostly black people?
Most. At that time, they all were black, all except, you know, like supervisors.
They were white.
Managers.
And how about you? Had you ever been in a strike before?
No.
No? did you ever belong to a union before then, or had you ever thought of joining a union?
No, we had never thought of it then, and, you know. Like, we didn't know anything about unions then.
Right. Had you been talking to the people you worked with about the job conditions and...
We sure had.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we had been trying to talk with him, but he would, you know, always put us off and say he was busy. And so
was that the supervisor who put you off?
No, this was the director at that time.
Mr. Prillman, right.
And then we wrote up, you know, some of our grievances, and we carried them to him, and he ignored those. Like, you know, he just never did anything about them. And that's just the way it started. And so it just had gotten so bad, you know, and we couldn't get any attention any other kind of way. So that was just the only thing we knew to do.
Well, you'd then been talking about it. Your grievances for months, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
For it's been a long time.
A long time, for months.
What was it that, what troubled you most about the job?
Well, upstairs it was workers, like I have a chef that's over there now that had been here for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of the ladies had been here like 21 and 22. They were older ladies. You know, at the time they were preparing their own fresh vegetables and...
Yeah.
The ladies was, and they had been here a long while, and their meats and everything had to be cut. And, you know, I hadn't been here, you know, I had just come here. I hadn't been there when we went out, I don't think, for 5 years. But I had noticed, you know, ever since I'd been there, how, you know, they were treating the workers, how they were shortening them of their pay. And, like, we, with the state at that time, you worked 3 months, and they put you on, they called it permanent payroll.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, they would let those people work there 3 months and, like, lay them off for a while and hire them back, you know, instead of putting them on permanent payroll. And then we had, you know, workers there that was due a raise. You know, the state was giving a raise every year. You know, every year you were supposed to get a raise. And, like, we had people that had been there 5 and 6 years and never gotten a raise.
Yeah.
Real smart ladies, very neat and dependable.
Yeah.
And we would, you know, talk to them about this, and then we would have, like, workers would go to them and, you know, ask them about their, you know, pay. Sometimes they'd be short of, you know, like $13, $14, and, you know, they would just give them any kind of answer, such as, you've got enough to get drunk on, or, you know, they would just ignore everything. You know, they would just pass it off, everything that you tried to talk to them about. But even though, you know, they, you know, still thought they were right. And we had, you know, like management then, too, could come in drinking or, you know, could leave. And we, the place would just be there. I know I've been there many nights and have waited for the manager to come way over my time to lock the door. You know, I just have to sit there. But They just never would pay any attention to us. Yeah. And like at that time, I'd been working. I had been there 8 years because I'd been working all those years on weekends without a weekend off.
Yeah.
You know, and that was one thing we wanted. You know, like to rotate weekends or and just several. You know, just really it was just things that just needed to be, you know, tended to, and they just would always ignore them.
Yeah. What was the last straw? What made you decide to go out on strike?
Well, after, you know, we had tried to talk to Mr. Perlman the afternoon before we went out on strike. We went out on Sunday. That's when we started it.
Yeah.
Well, on that Friday, we asked Mr. Perlman to sit down and talk to us. And he said he didn't have time. And so we, the workers on night shift, we just got together and decided, well, we'll come in Sunday and we won't work. And maybe in that way, you know, we can get them to sit down and talk to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, here they, and another thing, here the way they was doing us. You know, like, I was cooking. And they had me, on my application, I was listed as a dishwasher.
Oh.
You know, and they had...
They could pay you less
than that? And they were really paying me less. They was paying me as a dishwasher, and I never worked in the dishwasher,
yeah.
But I was cooking every day a meal,
yeah.
You know, for the night. And just,
yeah.
Well, they just had everybody's applications wrong, you know, had them classified as something else when they were doing
yeah.
something else. And so that Sunday, you know, we came in and we notified the workers upstairs. See, at that time they had dining rooms upstairs, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we notified the workers upstairs. And all that we were going to strike. And so that Sunday afternoon, when we were supposed to open, we went in as usual, you know, at our regular time. And then when it was time to open the door, we just blocked the lines and we just didn't work.
Yeah. And you got support pretty quickly from, say, the black student movement. They seemed pretty organized.
Well, we had been meeting with, we had had some meetings with the black student
uh-huh.
movement.
Had you asked them to meet with you, or they asked you to meet with them?
We asked, you know, like, they would just come in. It really was like this, not only the black students, the white students,
yeah.
too. And
uh-huh.
we would just, a lot of times they would be asking us about, you know, they could see some of the things that
yeah.
was happening, and we would talk to them about it.
Yeah.
Like, we just didn't know what to do or how to do it. And they said, well, if it's just, you know, like, anything that they could help us with. That they would.
Yeah.
And so we started having meetings with them.
Yeah.
And I guess you know they had really treated us badly when they owed us $180,000 in back time pay.
Well, when you talked to your fellow workers about striking, what did you say to them? Were there some who didn't want to strike? You seem to have been one of the leaders and one of the people who talked a lot and.
Well, I wouldn't say it wasn't any of them that didn't want to strike. It was some afraid.
Yes.
And that was the older people.
Yes.
Like they knew that it was a lot of wrong there, but they were still, you know, like they'd say, well, if I lose this job, where in the world will I get another job? And that's, you know, and they knew they were. You know, was treated wrong, but they was just afraid. But after we went out, we was pretty successful because all of the older workers, we got all of them out. I think about one or two, right? And we had all the older workers out.
Yeah. How did you persuade them? What did you tell them?
We told them that we needed to better working conditions. We told them how, you know, they was being shortchanged in their pay,
mm-hmm.
and it just wasn't too hard once we just sit down and really talk to them. And that after, you know, the students told us that they would really help us, you know, and raise money, and we explained to them that they would get some pay, you know,
yes,
during the week. And it was
because you have to pay your rent, no matter what, don't you?
Yeah, so
whether the strike
it wasn't
goes
too
on,
hard
or what.
And then we started selling food and. We made it, you know, pretty
yeah.
good. And then they got convinced, well, you know, we were able to pay them as much as they were making after we really got, you know, the food and everything
yeah.
set up and with the students you know, giving us donations and things like that.
Yeah. That's good. I wonder about your meeting with the university officials. How did that go? And did the workers approach them and ask them to meet with them? Is that what happened, or how was it set up? Do you remember?
I remember. Like, Amy, we asked them, didn't we? Chancellor Citizen.
Yeah.
And Joe Eagles. I remember we met with all them, but, you know, it was just, I don't know, they just, you know, Trish tried to convince us about so many things, and we knew that. You know, they just wasn't right. I know when I talked to Joe Eagles personally, he just, you know, he just said that we're going to try and get things straightened out. They just, you know, kept trying to put us off and things that they would tell us, you know, they wouldn't do anything about it.
Right. Did you feel like they respected you, or did you feel like they were just trying to kind of...
I just... You know, it was just kind of hard to... just don't know how to say it, but I just felt like they were just trying to put us on, really.
Yeah, right. Right.
I think Miss Ann Queen, the lady, you know, with human relations, she helped a great deal. I'll never forget her, you know, how she worked with us.
Yeah. Right. How did you feel about other people in the community? How did you feel about the lawyers? Did you have many dealings with them? Or?
Well, you know, we had Judge's chain was out of Charlotte.
Yeah.
And we were satisfied with him.
Right. And how about the newspapers? Were you surprised when you read what was happening? How about the Chapel Hill paper? Did you think it was pretty accurate, or did you often think they...
Well, a lot of times I wasn't too pleased with it. And I know on two different occasions they had, you know, printed... They had printed something that I didn't even know anything about. That's one thing that I didn't like. But sometimes some of it was pretty true, but most of the time it wasn't.
Yeah. Did you feel like they gave the workers a break, or that they were pretty much seeing it from the point of view of let's keep order here? And
That's the way we all seen it.
Yeah.
All the
right. And I wonder about the time when the state troopers came on campus. What was your reaction to that?
To me, that day, it was just frightening.
Yeah, I've been on campus when police came on campus, too.
I was trying
scared.
To get across with my little girl. I fell down, and my little girl fell. But, you know, it was just really frightening to see all those guns. But I think with the Chapel Hill policemen, sometimes it was even worse because they even clicked those guns one night.
Oh.
They were standing on top of cars, you know, and all of us was out there and we heard those guns clicking.
How did that make you feel about the strike? Were you determined to go on with it, or were you scared and wanted to stop it?
We was afraid, but we was determined to go on.
Yeah. And, you know, you had a meeting with the governor, and I just wondered, how was that set up? Someone told me that Senator Ralph Scott called you or something. How did that come about?
Well, Senator Scott, you know, like he lives from my home, he lives not too far from my father's farm. It's almost adjoining.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, after he had heard about the strike, he called me. And, you know, well, he called me several different times, you know, talking about it. So he got us the appointment with the governor. And so when we went down to his office, he told us he was going to try to get us the minimum, you know, of $1.80. And he would call me. So that night, after we went to he was very nice that day that we went there. And that night, he called me at home before it was released in the paper. and said he had passed it and he had gotten it, you know, would be in the paper the next morning.
Oh, yeah.
But Senator Scott, he did help a lot.
Yeah. And so you had a good feeling about your meeting with the governor, or how did you feel about that? Did the governor actually listen to you, or did he want to tell you what's what?
No, he never did really, you know, try to tell us what was what. He just, you know, he explained that it would be other workers, you know, like other state workers, that it would mean about 5,000 of them, he said, would get the raise, and he, you know, he asked us, you know, like he didn't talk that much. He listened to us.
Yeah.
And he said I know he said that, I forget the way he said it, but anyway, he talked like it was, he thought it was for a just, you know, reason.
Yeah.
He really did.
Yeah. And what about the other conditions? The other things you were asking for, such as alternating weekends and being notified immediately when you did get a phone call from home, and
yeah,
did you discuss those things, or was it mainly salary that you?
It was
about?
Mainly salary when we, you know, when we were down there.
I wonder why you didn't talk about other job conditions. Do you remember?
I guess I'm trying to remember. Did we talk about any other job conditions? So long ago, and it's so much happened.
I know it.
But I know. Oh, it was another guy, to think of, named Carwell from Raleigh. And we did talk about, you know, getting him to come over and you know, give us different classifications, because these guys came over from Raleigh, you know, and went through all of our applications,
oh,
you know.
Yeah.
And then that's when I got a raise, and, you know, they, you know, class had put on my application in, and I was a cook, and they gave me a raise and everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I know his last name was Carwell.
Well, was this a part of the strike, or was this done after the strike was over?
They came over and did this after we went to Raleigh.
Uh-huh.
They did this when we come back to work.
Yeah. Right. So you feel like your meeting with the governor was good, that it was productive? And you felt like things were different after you met with him and talked to him?
Yeah, but the thing of it is, then the university didn't have the food service that long after.
Yeah.
You know, we come back. So you really...
Well, yeah.
I know we really had it hard ever since. I think we've had it, and sometimes I wonder, is it worse?
Okay. Do they fire a lot of people?
Right now, in this place, believe you me, ever since August, we opened in August, we only have 9 full-time employees here in this large place now. And like people that was hired, hired people in August. They had some in August, and they worked up until December, and then they started laying them off. You know, that's all the time you get to work. And just like now, the ones that's here, that's making 40 hours, say the 9 of us, we have to do, I couldn't name the jobs, the different jobs that you have to do just to make 40 hours and stay here. You know, you have to work like that in order, you know, just to have the job.
It's gotten worse.
And the management.
You want to tell me?
Well,
you rather not? Okay. That's okay. When you were on strike, what was your life like? I mean, were you on the picket line a lot, or were you working a lot, and who took care of your family?
I had, all my kids were in school except one, then I had an older lady would keep her when I was on strike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on the picket line, I'd help cook some, I would be going to meetings sometime, it would be, you know, I'd get home, it'd be like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
It was a hard, long month. Yeah. And I worked hard.
Yeah.
Really something.
Did your family encourage you to stay with it? And
well, my husband didn't too much.
He didn't?
No, but the kids did.
That's
I
good.
Think he would have. You know, he wasn't, he was all for it. He knew he had worked here too when he was in high school.
Yeah.
So he knew how it was, but I think it was just that, you know, he knew that I had a lot to do at home, and I had,
yeah.
In which then my little, my kid was about 2 years old.
Oh, yeah.
It
right.
Was some hard work. And I was hoping, you know, that things would be a lot better.
Yeah. After you put all that effort
mm-hmm.
into it. I want to ask you also, as the strike went on, did you feel like the workers were becoming just the pawns of the students, or did you always feel like the students were really your friends and were really trying to help you? How did you feel about that?
We did. You know, now some things that they would say to us, we, you know, like we didn't, and we, like sometimes they say, let's do such and, you know, like, that's one thing I really worked with when we was on strike. That was, sometimes they wanted to be violent, some of them,
oh,
you know.
Yeah.
And I really worked hard, and I would always say, if there's any violence of any kind, you know, I'll just, you know, this will just be it. I threw up my hands because we just didn't want that. You know, we just wanted our, you know, we just wanted to be paid right. We didn't want to be overworked and doing dip, you know, like they had us
yeah.
classified as one thing.
Yeah.
And we just wanted, we like, you know, we are real devoted to food service. I know we've got about the same workers, right, Jenny? And they are so devoted to
yeah.
their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, like I see them do so many things, like different food they'll bring up, and if it don't look right, these workers, the cooks and the people that work on that line will say, if that manager say serve it and it's not right, they will dump it
yeah.
when that manager leaves.
Yeah.
They are really, they like working and waiting on the students. They
yeah.
like to talk with them. And, you know, like,
yeah.
they just enjoy their job.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like my job. I really
yeah.
do. And it was just, you know, we just did it for justice, you know, just to get
yeah.
nobody really knew unless they was in those in that cafeteria at that time what some of us was really going through with.
Yeah.
And just like we still got Miss Sophie Purefoy, a lady here that's been making salads here for 23 years, and she is really good.
Yeah.
But like, you know, now I notice her every day, you know, like she's having so much. They have, these people have a lot of specials and, you know, like catering parties. You know, they have a lot of catering parties. And, you know, like some days, she really do. I'd say 2 days work in a day where nobody helping her at all. And then you have to sometimes almost help her down the steps in the afternoon. But she's going to try. They'll really try and do that work. And they want to do it right. And they want it to
yeah.
do it good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've just always wondered, you know, like, I know, you know, everything's changing and all, but I just can't help but sit around and look at these workers, some that's been here for years and all like that, and they're so devoted and everything and believe in doing it right. I just, you know, think sometimes somebody, you know, like management
yeah.
or someone should just think of them.
Yeah.
Sometime, you know, like mm-hmm. say, well, I'll put somebody with you an hour or two a day. 2 hours would just help a lot.
Yeah. During the rush.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's see. I just wondered when the strike was over if your feelings about your fellow workers were different. Did you feel closer to them? Did you doubt some of them? Or what was your feeling about it when it was over?
You know, I've never doubted a one of them yet. And we've been close. It seems like we've been really closer even though some of them has been fired. Since that, I know a lady that worked very close with me, Elizabeth Brooks.
Yeah.
She was fired, you know, for just no.
Wow.
Just no. You know, it was just for something as simple as this. It was three people on a cash register one day. She was one of them and two of them. And they came up $4.62 short. But they couldn't say it was Ms. Brooks because it was three on that register.
Two. Yeah.
But
one, two.
She was fired.
Well, anybody can make a mistake changing money.
That's right.
And it was only $4 and they fired her over $4.
That's right. And she hasn't been able now. She's been selling Amway. She hasn't been able to really get a job.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of kids.
Oh, gosh.
But we're still close, you know. All of us are still close. And we all still now, like, we all make sure we see each other during the week. Every one of these units, you know, out of the three, I visit every other day, you know, where all the workers, I still go see them every day.
And how about yourself? Were you surprised at how much you could do? And
I really was.
Yeah.
I was surprised, but all I could think about, you know, like, I didn't want to do anything that was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, even the management at that time and the way we've been treated, I still respected and liked those, and I liked them, but, you know, I was worried, oh, I just hate to have to say this about this person or that. You know, I'm still just a person like that. I don't like to mistreat anyone.
Yeah.
And I worried about that a lot, you know, about Mr. Perlman and a lot of the managers. And I said, it's just a shame all this had to come out, you know, in the open where maybe, you know, it could have been solved just among us.
There was one time when you spoke in Memorial Hall in front of the student, all the students. Yeah. And I understand that was a really loud meeting. It was jam-packed with people, and the chancellor had spoken and so forth. And
I got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And I had never spoken in my life before in public.
Yeah.
But it's just really, now I kept a scrapbook on it. It was just, I still say I hate it had to come out in the open like that and last so long because I was so worn out.
Yeah. But when you were in the auditorium and you saw that huge audience, how'd you get the nerve to do that? How'd you get the nerve
to speak? It seems like it gave me more nerve. It was just like that. I just wanted somebody to know right then, you know, like, it just wasn't something that we was doing because, you know, it was just little simple things that we were unsatisfied. It was serious.
Yeah.
To me, it was really serious.
Yeah. Do you remember what you told them, or you remember some of the things you explained to them?
I can't remember right off, but I have it at home because some of the things, you know, were in the paper.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. And since the strike has been over then, how do you feel? Do you feel like you could take a leadership position again if you had to, if it was necessary? You think you could do it again?
I often talk sometimes in Ms. Brooks about it. I don't think I would ever want to do that again unless I was, you know, just trying to help somebody.
Yeah.
That would be the only way.
Right.
If I just see I could help someone and knew it would take that. That's the only way.
Yeah.
Because my father said he could never see me. My father said, I've been like that since I was small. I've always loved people.
Yeah.
I'm very... And she'll tell you right now, she often says, the ladies here, they never seen no one can come in every day with a smile on their face and greet them anymore. But I just like people. And I just like to be just.
Yeah, right.
And that's what I just couldn't understand. I've just never seen workers being treated like those workers was being treated at that time.
Yeah.
And now, you know, like, just right now, I see things, I hear managers say things to employees, it hurts me deeply.
Yes.
But I know that, you know, maybe I think now I'm not too well liked. You know, like, kind of that stays in you. And, you know, like, you don't know whether to say anything or not. But lots of times, you know, I go down to the office and I talk with the director sometimes about it.
Oh, you can talk to him? You feel like you can?
You can talk to him, but
yeah.
There's nothing ever done about it.
You don't feel like you're really getting across to him somehow?
No, but I was talking to him, I don't know if you know, anybody know about this, but about just before Christmas, I believe, about 3 months ago, I was asked to be, he was going to transfer me back to the Pine Room. But I don't think it was really a transfer. I don't know if they were trying to, you know, get rid of me or what, but they left word for me to leave my keys here on that Friday. So I told them I couldn't go to the Pine Room because, like, I stayed in the hospital just about every day with my back from over there last year where I'd have to, you know, unload trucks, you know, like when the produce come in, and I'd have to stop freezers, you know, those freezers, and it would get in my back, and I'd have to go to the doctor, and I told him that my husband simply refused to let me go back over there because I hadn't had this back trouble since I'd been over here.
Yeah.
And he said, well, leave your keys anyway. So I left my keys, and I just took that as to be fired, you know.
Yeah.
So he called me, that's the relative one downstairs now, he called me 3 times that weekend and said, well, I'm sorry we have to part this way. But then all the workers walked out on that Monday when they found out I wasn't at work.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they called me back.
Uh-huh.
And I was, you know, now that is really what really, you know, shocked me when I heard that Monday, because I didn't know anything about that they were going to leave their jobs. But they all walked out and asked for the director and wanted to know, was I coming back?
Uh-huh.
And so he called me on that Monday and told me to come back to work.
It looks like it's really hard to get through to him, that you just have to...
That's, and I think I've been through some hard times since that strike here, you know, to stay here.
Yeah. I wonder if they have you labeled as a troublemaker or something.
That's what I wonder. I tell my husband that sometimes, and sometimes the workers will say, Mary, I wonder, do they have you labeled that way? And you never meet a person that would want no one, they said, like you, that would want no more trouble. Because I never wanted trouble, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
And that's what they wanted sometimes, the workers have said that.
Yeah.
Because they noticed him, you know, having me to do a lot of things that, you know, they really, a woman really shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. And then I think that they fired Mrs. Brooks and over something pretty small, really. But I, you know, I really admire you for what you did, and I think it was right.
I just, if you hadn't known like I did, you would know it was right.
Yeah.
Because at that time, I thought it was so nice. You know, I think it's nice to go in a cafeteria anywhere, not only here, and you have nice, clean, decent-looking workers and like clean food, and they, you know, like, they're not workers like to throw anything up dirty or they going to fix it just like they do at home. They'll do it right now.
Yeah.
And after all, you know, workers like that just should be appreciated, even though, like, we had one lady, she'd been working 7 years, and they was paying her $1.25 an hour when we went out on that strike.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like now, when I was in the Pine Room last year, I would work, I have went for days in that place, you know, stocking those freezers, storerooms, and everything. And sometimes I'd see that my manager 15 minutes a day. And it's really the workers that's been here a long time. Like, if we didn't pull together, these students haven't seen anything, you know, like, you know, what they would really be getting. But we work together and pull together, you know, to put that food for them the best we know, to the best of our ability. Yeah. I put it that way. Because they're bringing managers, just pick them up from anywhere, and they don't know anything. Well, they, and some of them have told me, well, Mary, what is that? You know, be something just simple as all. Cheese raviolis, he wouldn't even know what it is. So by us being here, like it was a Mr. Barringer over here from, I don't know where, I think he was from Duke the other week, and he was talking with us, and he says, well, Mary, I never see the manager, you know, go on the line or anything like that. But it's just us that we've been here so long, and we know what to do, and we just pull together to get the work done. We'll help each other.
I guess that's about it. But I really appreciate your letting me come, and I appreciate you taking up your time talking to me.
Well, had I known you was coming, maybe I could have thought of, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I could have told you more. But, you know, just right offhand, I can't think too much about what I said then. But I know it's, everything is true that I told you.
Well, you told me a lot, and I really appreciate it, and I think it would be very helpful, too, for people who want to know what happened. Yeah.
Well,